Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Juno Afternoon. I'm your host, Kelly Patterson. This episode of Juno Afternoon is part of a collaboration between the Black Awareness Association of Juno and KTOO. On today's show, I have invited my very best friend, Heather, to join me as we have a candid conversation about our relationship and how we navigated 2020.
The following program from the Black Awareness Association of Juno originally aired in November of last year.
Culture-rich conversations on Juno Afternoon is sponsored in part by Mark Stofa and Sarah Hannon of the Alaska Wild Salmon Company, delivering fresh salmon to Juno homes since 2006.
Good afternoon and welcome back. My guest today is my friend Heather Peterson, and she is here to talk about our amazing friendship and what it's like to be white and have a Black best friend in 2020. I'm very excited to have her on the show, and I am so glad that she said yes when I asked her to be on the radio. Heather, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes. Hey, I'm Heather Peterson, and I'm Kelly's BFF.
Yes.
Thank you for inviting me to talk with you today. I'm really excited.
Oh, good. So just a little bit about us. We have been friends for 5 years?
5 years, yeah.
5 years. And we met, we both worked at the state office building, and it wasn't like some weird relationship. We like worked in the same division. So that is how we met. And I can remember going to my interview and there, when I was telling them, they asked me what brought me to Juno. And I was saying, oh, I was in the lower 48 and I married a boy from Juno, and they were like, just like Heather. And I think that it's been just like Heather the entire time. So we started working together and we liked a lot of the same things, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think we just have a lot in common. You know, we both had boys around the same age, and a lot of similar interests, really.
Yeah. And at the time, we both only had the one son. Like, I've had a daughter since then, but we both only had one kid, and they were both boys. And for a couple years, they even went to the same school. So it was we had parent-teacher conferences.
Sporty, so
they are both sporty.
Yeah. Had a lot of sports to talk about.
Yes. A lot of parenting, like, I do not want to do this again or tonight.
Like, cool pictures.
Like, yes.
Those are never good.
Never good. And every year I'd be like, Heather, did you do your school pictures? They're tomorrow. And she would be like, no. And then the night before, we would be online trying to order school pictures. Even though they knew we were going to be horrible. And then
we're going to hate them no matter what. They're going to come back and they're going to have the dumbest smile.
And then after we would order, we always take a picture of our kids and send it to each other and be like, I told you, it's the worst. Yeah, but we clicked. Heather moved up here. How long have you lived here?
Just like about a year longer than you probably. It'll be 7 years in January, so.
Okay.
I was a little bit longer.
A little bit longer.
Didn't start working as soon as you arrived either, so.
Yeah.
Maybe just a year more.
Okay. And tell the people where you're from.
Mostly I'm from Oregon. That's where I moved here from. So it wasn't quite as big of a change as Kelly had maybe coming from Nevada.
Right, right.
You know, I was kind of already accustomed to the cold.
I was not.
Yeah, definitely not. A little bit of a harder adjustment.
Yeah. It's funny, though, because we're alike and then we're super different. So Heather's a boater.
Right.
And I am not a boater. Although.
However.
Yes, I have
been able to get Kelly out on the boat a few times.
Yes, and I enjoy it. And I always tell Heather that Eric bought us a boat because Eric got us a boat that had a bathroom. So I didn't have to worry about that.
Two bathrooms.
Yes. And it was indoors. And usually when they go fish, I come inside and eat the lunch.
Yep.
But we have done a lot of that, and neither one of us are like super hikers, but Heather will hike every once in a while, and I don't.
I will do it begrudgingly.
Yes, and
only under the guise of like hunting.
Right. And I don't do it at all. I just don't.
Not at all.
Not at all.
Doesn't enjoy the outside.
I don't enjoy the outside. I try. I enjoy the inside.
We try to do indoor cozy things too.
We do indoor cozy things.
Yeah.
Why do you think that we click so well?
I don't know. I think it's just because we're like both so open.
Yeah.
To like different ideas and you know, we just really like to share like our different aspects of our lives with each other, and it's, you know, you're just like a really easy person to share that with, and you always have like the best feedback for me and advice, so yeah, that's helpful.
Yeah. And I do want to say that Heather and I are both pretty healthy mentally. A lot of the stuff that we're going to talk about, you really want to think about how healthy the person is that you're speaking with and how transparent you are. And if your relationship is something that can handle that type of talk, I wouldn't say that everybody's is. But I do think that Heather and I have a beautiful relationship, and I am grateful for her every day. We definitely have one of those relationships where I can call her or she can call me, and we can be like, am I being ridiculous? And we can be like, yes, yeah, you are being ridiculous.
Yes, always yes for me.
Yeah, it is not always yes, but...
But Kelly is always taking my husband's side.
I do take the husband's side, just as a precaution to make sure. But when she's right, I tell her, like, you're right.
It's true.
I do tell her when she is right, but I also tell her, like, no, I'm with Eric on this one.
Right.
Did you ever think about me being Black, like, as a friendship, like, as we were becoming closer, were you ever like, oh, I have a Black friend?
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, how do you avoid it?
Right.
They're like right there. And it's like, if you have different things that you do differently. And so, of course, you know, I'm interested in learning all about the things you do differently and why, or, you know, your different traditions and mm-hmm. that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And it's there. It's in your face.
Right. And I've definitely had you over to, like, for family dinners and Thanksgivings, right, and just the extravagance of sometimes a Black holiday or a Black meal. I can remember.
Which is just fantastic.
I know. I can remember inviting you and Eric over for Thanksgiving. And it was only, I don't even think, was Michaela born? Michaela had to have been born.
Yeah, she was a little one still.
Yeah, but she wasn't eating solid food. And there was only me, you, and my mom, and Eric and your son, and we had enough food to probably feed like 15 or 20 people. Like, it was
easily. I took so much home.
And I have to say that
I enjoyed it for days.
Yes, Heather and her husband ate everything. They tried the collard greens, they ate the cornbread, they ate the whole, and there was stuff there that I don't eat. I don't eat collard greens. I know, whatever.
Oh, they're so good.
I'm going to get all the comments because
I just can't.
It's a thing.
I need to talk to your mom about it.
You do need to talk to my mom about it. I'm sure if you had to make it and saw like the bacon drippings that were in it, you'd probably be like, never mind. But they ate it and they loved it. But I don't even eat it. But they were all for it. It was great. So we do definitely intermingle and share in the different traditions. And Heather's husband is Danish, and they have all of these traditions at Christmas time and all these other things that she talks to me about. And sometimes I just look at her like, that is so different.
Like, who wants to eat pickled herring?
Exactly. Or the one where you guys have the little baby in the thing.
Oh, yes. Yeah. You gotta find the almond.
The almond. Rice. Yes.
That's what it is. Yeah. You get the present, but it's like you end up eating so much of this rice pudding trying to win.
Yes, and that's just not a thing in my culture to eat rice pudding even.
Right.
So that's fun, and it's funny because I've also thought about Heather being white, you know, as we were becoming friends, and I've listened to podcasts where it's like, I don't mind having white friends. I just don't want to be your first, you know, I don't mind having white friends, but I don't want to be your first Black friend. And I don't know, am I your first Black friend, Heather?
No.
Yeah. No. And it's funny because...
I've had plenty, you know, and I have some family members.
I figured. I've never asked you that before, but I figured. Right. And there's so many things that are different about my culture that Heather is just kind of like, that's just the way it is, you know? Some people get really caught up on the whole wig thing because I wear wigs. I love wigs. I change my hair color, my hair length, the bangs, no bangs. It's my thing. And Heather is just totally okay with it and she just rides with it. Some people, it's like a 15-minute conversation every time I change my hair. So I appreciate that, Heather.
Although I do usually comment when it's different.
She does comment when it's different, but it's normal comments. Like, it's like, oh, I like your hair. It's not like, oh, you changed your wig. What is that one called? Did you name it? Where do you store it? Like, it's not. Not that we mind those conversations.
It's not that complicated.
Not that I mind that conversation, but it's nice to have a friend who... It's just okay. It's just okay to be different. And it's not something that we totally have to talk about or dwell on or any of those things.
It certainly isn't a hang up for me.
It's not a hang up. No. How long do you think we had been friends before we started talking about race?
You know, that's kind of a hard one. I feel like because you and I have always kind of really been into listening to podcasts together.
Yes.
And we've had like a pretty diverse, just like a grouping of podcasts that we listen to. And it just comes up all the time. And so
all the time.
I'd say from the get-go, I mean, it was there and it was something that we talked about just because we would get together and chat about what we had listened to and like how we felt about the different issues.
Yeah, I would say that too. I don't think that we ever had like a moment where we're like, okay, Heather, we have reached the point in our friendship where we can talk about the big R. I don't think that ever happened. And you know, we do have a lot of similar podcasts and a lot of when we were working together and we were like cubicles apart, it was like, did you listen to the new so-and-so today? So not only were we listening to the same things, but a lot of times we were listening to them at the same time in the same order, you know.
Then we'd go to lunch together every day.
Every day. Exactly. Or if we weren't, and we watch a lot of the same TV shows too.
Yeah.
So if it came up on a TV show or something like that, or a Netflix special we were watching, we would always talk about it. So it's different for me when I'm talking to Heather to be like, when did you start talking about race? When was it okay for you to start talking about race? I think that you have to kind of have that type of relationship and establish whether or not it's something that you feel comfortable talking about. And I guess, what do we call ourselves? Are we an interracial friendship, Heather? Is that a thing?
I guess we are. I've never really thought about it.
I guess that's what you call it.
Every once in a while, like, there was this one guy that we worked with. It was in another division. Like, he'd come by and, like, mention it to us sometimes.
Yeah.
Not in a weird way. He's, you know, he's a jokester. And you probably know who I'm talking about. I don't want to call him out. But you know she's Black, don't you?
You know,
coming from him, it was nothing.
Yeah, it was nothing. We just, it's like, you know.
And I think it was just because we were, like, comparing ourselves to, like, people on a TV show.
Exactly.
And I'm like, or like, you know, I'm this person on this TV show, and Kelly's this person. And he was like,
Yeah. Exactly. Or when she's like, do you want to go hunting with me? And I'm like, no. Like, you know that I'm Black.
Absolutely not.
I'm not going hunting. Not to stereotype. I know. We're sorry. We did it. I did it. I stereotyped.
No, it's okay.
Some Black people hunt.
Just to clarify. I still invite you for all the things that I know that you're not going to enjoy.
You do. And I appreciate that. And I think that's like one of the beautiful things.
I know you're going to say no, and I'm totally fine with it.
I love it. Well, you know, for us, there wasn't a particular moment, but I feel like with America, especially with white America, there was a moment when race became like a big topic. And I feel like that moment happened on May 25th, 2020, when in the middle of a global pandemic, the world watched George Floyd get killed. Did you watch the video?
Yes, I did watch it. Yeah.
Yeah?
Everybody did.
Yeah, I think so too. Did you watch it immediately or did it take you some time?
It took me a little bit of time. It's not really, you know,
I know.
Prepare yourself you to do. Watch something so terrible.
You do. Did you think about me at all when you watched it? Did my family
I
did.
Yeah,
or
you know, I think about you and your family and you know, what you know, it's just how can you not?
Right.
You know?
Right.
Because it's something that directly affects you.
Right.
And the situation itself with the police structure, maybe,
yeah,
I'd call it. You know, it directly affects you and Amir.
Yeah.
You know, so I think about that a lot.
Yeah. And I think that that's the biggest thing for me, too, is that I think about my son because I'm going to have a son who's going to grow up and be a Black man.
Right.
And it's fearful for me that I have to teach him, you know, how to speak to the police, how to behave right. accordingly, that I have to tell him that these are things that he may need to worry about, especially if he ever plans to leave like safe little Juno, where it may not be as right. big of an issue or it may not be something that people are as widely talking about. So it was sad. It was a sad moment, definitely, for me when I watched the video. I just sat there and cried like a baby. Like, I could not believe that for 8 minutes and 46 seconds, somebody, like, kneeled on this man from a point of talking to non-talking. So I just sat there and I just cried and cried and cried and cried. And I thought it was interesting because everything that you watch from podcast to, you know, even on This Is Us, they talked on it and they talked about how you got, like, as a Black person, we got a lot of like sympathy texts. And I did. I heard from people that I haven't talked to in forever. I got emails and texts and phone calls from all kinds of people from everywhere, I've ever lived. People reaching out on Facebook. It was crazy. But I was comforted in the fact that you didn't reach out like that. For us, it wasn't something that, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening to you. Like, this is something
it was,
that...
It was nothing new.
Right.
It was unexpected.
Right.
In my book.
Right. Like, we had talked about this before, and you knew how I felt about it, and you knew how, like, it grieved me and my family. And I think it was a real testament of our friendship of, like, you were like, oh my God, Kelly, I didn't know that you and your people were going through this. It's like, no, like, my best friend knows that this is my reality. Like, she understands that. And I'm so grateful for that. I'm so grateful that you were just, that I could see that you were in my corner and that it wasn't something that you were oblivious to, but that it's something that you actively are aware of and call out on a regular basis. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. I'm glad that my ignoring you. I don't ignore you. I just...
No. You
know, par for the course, you know?
Yeah. And I guess even if you would have reached out, we communicate often enough that it wouldn't have felt like out of the blue reaching out either.
Right.
So,
right.
Have the events such as the Black Lives Movement or George Floyd made you think any differently about our friendship?
Not really. I mean, not differently about our friendship. But it is interesting to see with the movement, it's brought it so much more evident to other people that I'm friends with.
Right.
Who I have a Black friend, and so all of a sudden they're asking me, like, what's your opinion on this? I have some sort of special insight or something.
That's funny.
It's crazy. Yeah.
Oh, but wow.
I don't feel like it's really, I mean, I've always supported.
Yeah.
I like to think I've always been an advocate.
Yeah. Perfect. Well,
the other people are now too.
I hope so.
Yeah, I hope so.
Well, we're going to take a short break and we will return in just a moment. Thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
Welcome back to Juno Afternoon. If you're just tuning in, this is your host, Kelly Patterson. And our guest today is Heather Peterson, and we are discussing what our friendship is like and what it's like to have an interracial friendship in 2020. So moving right along, Heather, it looks like one of the buzzwords for 2020 has been privilege. What do you think about privilege? Have you ever thought about it before? What do you think?
Obviously, there are certain things in my life that are just kind of easier. because of my privilege. And it's just something that it's good to be able to recognize. It's not necessarily anything. I mean, a lot of people have this idea, like you're saying, oh, you're so privileged, you've never had hardship.
Right.
But that's not it. It's just there's certain things that I'm never going to have to deal with.
Right.
And so, yeah, I can definitely understand that. And it's something that I try to explain to my son so he knows that he's got a pretty...
Yeah. And I think that with our friendship, there has always been a talk about privilege. I think that we just didn't really have a name for it. But there was a lot of times when we would talk about something and it would be, well, you will do this and I will never do that. Or my son will never do that and your son will have the option to do this. I think right. that it wasn't until privilege became like a buzzword that we actually knew what it gave a name to what it was that we were speaking with each other about. But I don't think that it was something that we had to necessarily explain to one another.
Right. Yeah, it was always just kind of an understood thing that, you know, I let my child run wild in the streets, whereas you have to be, you know, a little more careful about what you allow yours to do and where he can go. And,
yeah.
And that's who he can... whose home he can go to.
Yeah. Who he can mingle with. The crowd
right,
he keeps.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. We're definitely, when it comes to parenting, I'm sure my son would rather have Heather as a mother than...
But I'm sure Kelly's the better mother.
No, I would not say that. But there's been many a times when she's like, Kelly, let him go. And sometimes I will be like, you're right, I'm going to let him go.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was in a big city before this, so it was
it
was
that's
weird.
Probably a big part of it too.
Yeah, you know, we didn't talk to our neighbors. We didn't go to school with the people who lived next door. That wasn't a part of how I grew up even, you know, and I grew up on an island, and but I always went to private school, so my neighbors weren't my classmates. So, like, having him even go next door and, like, go inside that person's house was, like, a big deal for me. It was a super big deal. Do you think that you're comfortable talking to me about privilege, or do you think it's a little uncomfortable?
I don't really think anything we talk about is really uncomfortable. And if it is uncomfortable, we should probably talk about it.
Right. You see how healthy that is?
Why is this uncomfortable, Kelly?
Right. Yeah, but I don't know that we've had that issue. I can't think of anything.
I don't think so.
I don't think so. Do you think that it's not uncomfortable because of our friendship, or do you think that privilege is just easier to talk to me because I'm Black and I have an understanding of what privilege is?
I think it's probably a good mixture of that. I mean, I think most of it's our friendship and we're just, you know, very open in that way. But, I mean, you being Black does lend to a lot of our conversation.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's a part of it.
Yeah. I would say that. Demographically, we are pretty similar, but do you see us being completely different people leading different lives and realities because I'm one race and you're another race?
I don't know that I would say completely different.
Mm-hmm.
There's definitely some things that I know, like, you know, we have big differences not just in like what we like to do or how you have to react in certain situations, or, you know, check when I say, let's go here on vacation, and you're like, nope, we're not welcome there. You know?
Yeah.
Like, okay, let's pick somewhere else.
Right. Right.
You know, so in that way, I mean, we do live a little bit of a different reality, but, you know, and I do think that because we are in small town Juneau, we might be a little cushioned.
Yeah.
A lot of the differences that there could be.
Yeah. I will say that because we are in small town Juneau, where I think the black population is like less than 3%, it's really small, if that, that it is nice to have a white best friend when you know you're going to go somewhere and you're going to be the only black person. And right. That is nice. And Heather is the nicer of the two of us, to be completely honest. True. She is the people person. She is the one who does the small talk. So not only do I not like small talk or interacting with strangers a whole lot, but I'm also a lot of times the only minority in a room, in the workplace, in a group, in a party, in almost every situation in Juneau. I'm the only person of color from the things that I attend anyway. So it's nice to have her around, and she kind of acts like, I don't know, she's like my security blanket when I have to do something.
It's like just, a buffer.
She's a buffer, exactly. And I can tell her like, oh, I do not like, this is uncomfortable, or I don't like being here, yeah. Or I don't feel like talking today, or any of those things. I feel really comfortable being able to say to her and being able to just express that. And for our big question, what is it like to be white and have a black best friend in 2020?
I mean, it's great. I mean, give me any year. It's great. But I mean, just because you're you. But I don't know. I guess it does. It makes me be more thoughtful, I think, of just what's going on in the world, and thinking, you know, what can we do? How can I act? What kind of actions can I take with other people around me to help them kind of build a better future for the Black community and people of color in general?
Yeah. And for me, what's it like having a white friend when you're Black in 2020? I think it's helpful because you see so much negative all the time. And sometimes I'm scrolling through Facebook and I'm like, oh my goodness, they're never going to get it. And then you have like this best friend who gets it. And it gives you just this feeling of hope of like, there's people who can get it. Like, and
yeah, and it's not impossible.
It's not impossible, you know, and Heather was raised in a predominantly white town. It's not like she was in, you know, Black Oregon and then moved to white Juneau. And that's why she's so comfortable with having a black friend. No, she has just decided to have an open mind and an open heart and love me for me. And I wouldn't even say that she's colorblind. I don't think that we're colorblind. We never look at each other and be like, oh, I never noticed that she was white. She's just my friend. No, I know that she's white. She knows that I'm black. And we still love each other. Like, we still genuinely care about each other and our lives and our marriages and our children. And we are just there to support each other and to be in the everyday mess. And I think that that is a wonderful thing. And I just get so much hope because sometimes it's like, if Heather can get it, everybody can get it. Some people just take more time than other people.
Right.
But it's definitely hopeful. So I appreciate you, Heather.
Oh, I appreciate you too. Yeah. thank you for inviting me to talk. It's been a little while since I've seen your face.
I know, it has been a little while. The first time that I ventured out to a restaurant since we quarantined was to see Heather. I was a brave soul. Yeah. We were brave and we went to...
And it was the only time I've been to a restaurant, too. That was the first and last.
It has it? I've gone to a restaurant since then. I have gone since then, but that was definitely my first one, and I didn't go again for a really, really long time. But we did do that. So as we come to a close with this episode, and I want to thank you again for joining me and having this conversation, what would you say to a person who is having a hard time talking to their friend who are people of color during the current climate?
I would say that they just need to be more open to it. I know everybody might not be quite ready, but I think, if you're not talking to your Black friend about the issues that affect them in their life, are they really your friend, or are they just like a Black person that you know?
Right.
You know? It's important for you guys to share what's going on in your life. And I mean, this is what's going on in your life.
Right.
For better or worse, you know? And so the best way to open our hearts to each other is just to start talking and get to it.
Yeah. And I would say, as a person of color, that right now, if you are white and you're trying to talk to your friend about race, kind of gauge and see where they're at. See if they want to talk about it. Don't force it because you want to feel better about it. So you want them to talk about it. I think that you kind of just need to be open and see where they are. Are they in a place where they're ready to talk about it? Ask them. Like, I know that there's a lot going on right now in, the Black community. Do you want to talk about it? Is there something that's weighing on your heart that you'd like to say? And I think that as the Black friend, you need to be open to have people make mistakes and say things that, may just be something that they didn't know, or something, a question that they may ask that you may be like, I can't believe I have to answer this question. Give people that grace to ask that question and not be offended about it, and not be made to feel as though they are asking something that's ridiculous or stupid or anything like that. Just be gracious with your friends. And I think,
please, because there's a lot that we just don't know.
Right. There's a lot that all of us just don't know.
A lot of stupid questions floating around in our heads a lot of the time.
Yeah. And eventually you'll get to that point where, like, they'll ask you a question and you'll both just start laughing, and you'll answer it, and you know that it's from a pure place. I think that you have to recognize that it's from a pure place. And really, like, we don't know what we don't know, and you aren't going to know if you don't ask. So I would just encourage, like Heather said, to just really have an open dialogue, really think about, how you want to approach it, and be okay with the person saying, like, I don't want to talk about it right now. Or be okay with the person just totally saying everything that they felt for the last, 9 months or whatever we've been going through in quarantine, and just be okay with that. And I like that Heather has never tried to fix anything in me. She's never been like, well, this is what you need to do, and this is how you need to do it, and, and this is how you should feel. And this, like, she never tells me how I should feel. She never tells me how I should react. She never tells me you shouldn't be angry when I'm mad and yelling or sad or upset.
Oh, that's one of my favorite things to be told.
Yeah, and she's usually more met. Heather is actually the angrier of the two. She's the nicer, but she's definitely the angrier of the two. She's usually, like, super mad about it before I get super mad about it.
Right. Yeah.
She's usually like, can you believe it? So, and I just love her for that. I love that she has, like, just this this sense of justice. Like, she wants justice and she doesn't understand and she doesn't have time for injustice. Like, she just doesn't.
She doesn't.
It's like a push. It's a sensitive subject for her. So yeah. I just appreciate that. Is there anything else we should add, Heather?
I think we got it pretty well covered.
I think we got it covered too. Heather and I always had a secret dream of having a podcast. So this is our version of our podcast realized in real time.
Yeah, this is just the first.
This is just the first of many.
Prepare yourselves.
Prepare yourselves for
the Kelly show.
Exactly. We have to come up with a better name than the Heather and Kelly show.
It's
going to
be a much better name.
Much better. We just couldn't come up with it on the fly.
Yeah, no, I'm not that creative.
Okay.
Find out in our further podcast episodes.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Juno. We hope you will tune in next week for another episode of Juno Afternoon. Juno Afternoon is a part of a collaboration between the Black Awareness Association of Juno and KTOO. Have a great day.